somebody said to us, was like, well, it's not fine art. You can't put it in any fine art like publications or anything. And we were like, well, it's okay, we'll make it work for us and it will still be like, it's, you know, who gets to decide what fine art is? I thought the art was fine, so
the
there
art
we go.
Was fine in my
the
opinion.
Art was fine. So it's fine art. You know, I feel like, yeah, it's there's just so many like arbitrary rules about what classifies as like fine art and what doesn't. And you know, I think our main passion for the whole thing was just like, we wanted to create an opportunity that we wish we had when we were breaking into like the industry.
And the whole kind of like Instagram influencer activism or like space, I think people kind of put that in another box, like that goes over there, that's its own category, whereas like, you know, blue chip fine art, real art in some ways like way over there, and the two just like don't really meet. But I don't really have time for that, like I don't really care about that. There is a reason why the stuff that we like to engage it with and the stuff that we follow and we like on Instagram, there's a reason why that's not constantly in galleries. And I think that's one of the main reasons we wanted to put on the show in the first place, because we wanted the stuff that we are engaging in and the stuff that we like to look at, we wanted it to see it in a different setting. We wanted to see it in somewhere like a traditional, you know, white walled setting. And we tried to kind of create that opportunity because we couldn't really see it happening anywhere else.
Welcome to Going Places. I'm your host, Natalie Byrne, and this is a podcast aimed to give you clarity on your creativity because you, my friend, are going places. This is a continuation of my Patreon-only podcast, which is just me sharing what I know. But in these three episodes, I'll be speaking to exciting guests and asking them what they know, their journey, their creativity, and basically just an excuse to chat to people who inspire me. Eliza Hatch is a photographer and activist and public speaker who founded Cheer Up Love, which is a photography series which aims to reclaim sexual assault. And Bee, also known as Bee Illustrates, is a wonderful illustrator whose art celebrates queerness. Bee's aim is to make complex theory and difficult subjects accessible and palatable for the modern millennial and Gen Z audience. Earlier this year, the two teamed up to create Hysterical, a London-based charity exhibition which celebrated women and people of marginalised genders who bring together both art and activism. The show aimed to subvert the notion of being deemed dramatic or attention seeking, as well as reclaiming words that have historically been used to oppress people of marginalized genders. I spoke to Eliza and Bee after the complete completion of the event, as I wanted to ask them questions about creative collaboration and what they've learned. So here's the interview. How are you feeling about the exhibition? Are you still kind of tired and exhausted from it all? I know it can be. It just looked like a lot of work, but also was amazing. And I want to know how you're feeling now after it all.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. People probably can't tell who's talking, but I'm Eliza, one half of the Hysterical duo. But that sounds so funny to say. But anyway, yeah, it was so much fun and exhausting and incredible and all of the things. I think we're still kind of sort of coming down from it all and like decompressing from it still now. I don't think, like, when it finished, neither of us just sort of sat down and did nothing. We just sort of like carried on working. So it still feels really strange that it even happened. And yeah, reflecting on it now, it still feels weird that happened and has come to a close. And we just finished doing kind of all of our last minute admin last week, and it sort of feels a bit more closed now. And yeah, we're already planning the next one.
Yeah, no, I feel, oh hi, I'm the other half of the creative duo. I'm Bee, hi. But yeah, so I feel like it's still not really hit me that we've kind of done it, and I honestly feel like a shell of the person that I was when I was like, let's put on an exhibition. But it's just been amazing. The response we had was so good. I think both of us are like chronic overworkers, so we really did the most, which was great in like terms of the actual finished event, but in terms of our burnout levels, it was a lot. And then obviously we're both full-time freelance creatives, so we had like all of our life stuff happening and trying to like keep an income going, because obviously we weren't paying ourselves to put on this exhibition as well. So it was just like, yeah, it was a lot to try and do that and then also still be working full time on the side. But we made it through. I can't believe it's happened. And yeah, as Eliza said, we are planning more, which is so exciting. But also we're like, we need a break. We definitely need a little rest in between, which I say it like I'm not the one that's like, we need to do this. But yeah, no, it's just been great. The whole thing's been amazing.
Well, I left that actually out of my questions because I hate the question after you've just done something big of like, are you going to do it again or what's next? But I'm so happy and excited to hear that you are going to do something again. And yeah, I guess I just want to ask, like, how did this idea first come about and how... What was was there something that instigated the idea to put on this amazing show?
I think it came about pretty organically in the sense that me and B had never done anything before like this. And we both were kind of really itching for something, to do something, whether it was putting on an event or an exhibition. I think we both just really felt like it was time to kind of put something on in a physical space. And that kind of came into being after we met for the first time at an event. And we had never met before. And we'd spoken a bit online, but we didn't really like know each other, more kind of just internet friends. And then we met in person. And then immediately it was just sort of like, oh, we should do an event like this. And I thought it would be one of those things where you say it in passing, like, oh yeah, we should do this, it'll be fun. And then you never speak to that person ever again. which is, you know, like happens at basically all parties and events ever. And like, oh yeah, we should go for coffee. And you never see that person ever again. But surprisingly, we actually followed it through, and we followed it through like to the biggest extreme, I think.
That's so funny to hear you say that, because I'm one of those people who, if I say I'm going to do something, it happens. So I didn't know that you thought it was just a passing comment. I was like, no, this is happening. But yeah, I honestly, the amount of times we've told that story, it feels like we're telling like how we met and our creative romance blossomed. But no, yeah, basically that. And Eliza came up to me and was like, oh my god, B. And I was like, hi, do I know you? And it's because obviously I would never think that, but no, because obviously Eliza's like platform Cheer Up Love, it doesn't really center you as a person, so I knew of the platform and I'd spoken to this like entity, but I didn't know that you were the entity. I was like, oh hey,
that happens a lot.
But no,
yeah,
it was,
yeah, that happens a lot. It was funny because I obviously knew who B was like immediately, and I'm B, it gets recognized way more than I do.
I am I'm a wallflower.
So yeah, B was just sort of like, who are you, when we first met? It was a very humbling moment. But then yeah, blossomed into a creative romance.
But also I'm so terrible with faces that we could have met loads of times and I'd be like, who are you again?
that's kind of how it happened.
It's so interesting to hear that you guys had never done anything like this before, because I speak to a lot of creative people who get and I myself feel this way as well when I'm embarking on new things I've never done before, like, oh my god, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, what was that? Did you guys just help each other through those moments?
I mean, being underqualified and just doing it anyway is kind of my whole brand. But I feel like we actually worked really well as a team, because Eliza is a very like kind of strategic, planning centric person who like Eliza made a spreadsheet. It was amazing. I've never made a spreadsheet in my life. Sorry, my cat is sitting on my mic. It's fine. Monkey stop. But no, so Eliza had this amazing spreadsheet like ready to go. And then I'm kind of a chronic like warrior, so I was kind of worrying for every possible outcome of what could go wrong. And I feel like together with Eliza keeping me in check and me planning for every possible like eventuality and catastrophe that could go wrong, it kind of balanced out into a nice little kind of, I don't know, like harmonious, ow, stupid cat, don't like me. It balanced out into a nice little like harmonious kind of what's the word, like team.
Yeah, I think it was really interesting kind of learning about each other's creative and working processes along the way. So for like every single possible thing that could go wrong, of which I would think of none of them, B would be like, oh, have you thought about this? Oh, we have thought about this. And I'd be like, nope, but I'll make a spreadsheet about that and I'll try and calm your nerves. And it was, yeah, a lot of just being like, me just being like, it's gonna be fine. And then B just making loads of assets.
That was literally my whole life, was all of the branding that you saw was the bane of my existence for about 3 months.
Well, it was beautiful, so your hard work paid off. And I love hearing about collaboration, because I mean, so often in what I hear, and I definitely experience this, is like maybe the first few times at university or college or school, my experience was often being kind of left to do all the work myself. And like, I think people get burnt and scared to enter in collaboration because they might have had a bad experience. And I always tell people, if you're the kind of person that's left to do all the work, you need to find those other people that are willing to do also all the work. Mm. So did you have a sense, I guess, because you both are in your own individual practices, are incredibly hardworking, and did you have a sense that you were going to make a good team, or did you just go for it?
I think I had a feeling, but you know, it could have gone either way. Like, it could have been an absolute disaster, because we'd only really seen what we'd been doing online, and you know, someone's output on social media or output creatively online is can be completely different to who they are as a person or what they like to work with. So it was very much like kind of jumping in the dark. That is not the phrase. Stabbing the dark. Oh my god. I can't. I'm really bad at synonyms. Is that a synonym? No. You know.
No.
What? Ignore me.
I know what you mean, though. All of those things were wrong. I understand.
Stab in the dark and jumping into the deep end.
It was jumping into the deep end, and it was a stab in the dark.
It was both of those things.
Yeah. But it turned out for the best. And I think, as soon as we started working together, I was kind of like, you know, I was waiting for the moment where I was like, is this person, like, are we annoying each other yet? Like, are they annoying me? Am I annoying them? Like, just kind of waiting for that moment to happen, because
I'm so glad that you said that, because I was thinking exactly the same thing, but I never told you.
Love that.
Oh, wholesome.
I mean, I think it happens so much, especially, you know, you tend to, even in like work environments, you tend to spend more time than colleagues than you would your own family or your own partners. And I think it's a very stressful situation to be putting on an event. And there has to be, I think, a lot of trust there. And even like delegation and things. You've talked about that you had a spreadsheet, and I know I'm the worst when it comes to organization. And so I really want to ask you about organization and delegating, and how did you do it? Was it just this like spreadsheet that led the way?
The master dog. We were actually so, so lucky. In terms of like, because we didn't really have a conversation about who was going to do what and who was going to delegate what. It kind of just like, it just really fit, in the sense that like Eliza kind of took on the more like administrative and like, I don't know, organizational roles, because I feel like if I had done that, it would have fallen apart at the seams. And then I was kind of there to like support with that. And then I took on a more like creative role, and did like kind of artist, because I was like, I know how to deal with artists because I know we're all nightmares. So I was like, I will email them. And yeah, it just really kind of fit quite naturally and harmoniously. Like our kind of, our styles of working both aligned really well, but Eliza's right. It was a complete stab in the dark. Like it could have gone so wrong. I think we were so, like, looking back now, I'm like, we were so naive and so lucky. Like we just assumed that it would be okay. And thank God it was. But I think any other person, I probably would have been like, no.
Yeah, it was kind of amazing, because looking back on it now, obviously there were like so many stressful things that were yet to come in the process of like putting on the whole event, but it was kind of nice in a way, being so like naive to it all from the beginning, because we were just kind of doing everything bit by bit, and we knew we had this huge task to undertake, but because we'd never done anything like it before, I don't think either of us had anything to compare it to, so we were both just kind of taking off like little chunks bit by bit by bit, and just doing it really gradually, and like kind of taking everything as it came, and not thinking about all of the crazy amounts of admin that like the reality of what we actually had to do, which was quite nice. Whereas going into it again, I feel like we're gonna have the full picture now.
Yeah. But at least, yeah, definitely, I think our catchphrase, or at least my catchphrase for the entire exhibition when anything went wrong, was like, we're just gonna roll with the punches.
Yeah,
we're just rolling with the punches. That was what was said constantly to everything. But yeah, going into it a second time, maybe, if it happens, we'll see, allegedly, but we know the enormity of like the task that is putting on an exhibition.
Yeah,
it will be good, it will be fine.
Yeah, also I think we definitely like played to our strengths a bit, kind of building on what Bea was saying before, like Bea was good at kind of doing all of the like the assets and kind of getting, you know, lots of content out there really, really quickly, like marketing, whereas I had, you know, that's Bea's job, so they're really experienced with just like getting, you know, quick illustrations and graphics out like immediately and en masse, and so that was kind of something that Bea felt really comfortable like taking on and taking a lead on. And then like I've had quite a lot of experience kind of reaching out to press and doing that kind of side of things as well, so I kind of very naturally kind of took on that role, and yeah, more kind of, yeah, I suppose like administrative things. But then there were other things which were more organizational that Bea kind of took the lead on that I couldn't really get my head around, like all of the sort of health and safety elements.
That is, yeah, one of the only benefits to having terrible anxiety is you do really think of everything that could go wrong, and more often than not you don't need it, but when you do it comes in handy.
Yeah, so it ended up being like both of us definitely playing to our strengths, but actually kind of balancing each other out quite nicely in the end.
Oh, I love that. And I think it's so important in creativity to take risks, and everything I've gone into and I've seen other people go into naively has maybe been a blessing, because it means that they wouldn't have done it if they didn't have the kind of rose-tinted glasses and like jumping into it, and I'm so glad that you both did. I want to go back to something that you were talking about, how about like rolling with the punches and dealing maybe when things go not to plan. And I know that you mentioned on socials, well, you had a sponsor pull out during on the lead up to the events, and I wanted to ask you how you navigated that hurdle and kept your heads up high during the situation.
So it wasn't actually a sponsor. It was, we applied for Arts Council funding, because everyone we kind of spoke to when we were talking about planning the exhibition was like, apply for funding, you will definitely get it. It's a community-based like charity exhibition. Like, they love that stuff. They will definitely give you funding to put on this exhibition. So we applied. Eliza took the lead on the application process, because it was honestly
hell.
It was grueling. It was like a week of just head in hands, like what have we gotten ourselves into. And then yeah, we had a few hiccups in the planning stages. So on the day that we announced that we were putting on the exhibition, we got the email through from Arts Council being like, your funding has been denied, which we actually found out a couple weeks ago that they gave, I think it's been disputed now, but they ended up giving the transphobic kind of hate group, they're just a bunch of TERFs, they gave the LGB Alliance £10,000 for a project. So it's like, what we were asking for in comparison to that was nothing to them. But yeah, so, you know, sorry Arts Council.
We didn't tick all of the diversity and inclusion boxes, that's why.
Yeah.
But LGB Alliance did.
Apparently so. LGB Alliance does. So yeah, that was super fun. But no, so we found out that we didn't get the funding, which was obviously gutting, but we were like, well, we've announced it now, so it's happening. And earlier in the planning stages, our original venue had pulled out, so it was just like so much stress behind the scenes. But I think we were both just so passionate about like the kind of cause, and we wanted to give our artists like a platform to show their work in like a kind of sort of traditional art space, but not really, because it's us, that we just felt like we couldn't not do it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think at every single point, because we had many a hurdle, like right at the beginning of the planning stage, we were like, who knew putting on an exhibition would be so easy?
We never
say that. It was literally the sort of, yeah, never say that. It only brings you a world of pain. But as soon as we basically said that, all of the things started to unravel and go wrong. But kind of every time something did happen, we were both so determined that nothing was gonna kind of shake us, and that nothing, like, the show must go on at any cost, basically.
Literally
any cost.
Oh dear.
And so throughout the entire thing we were like, oh, our original venue had pulled out, and we'd been kind of gifted this venue as part of like a non-profit scheme, and then they pulled out originally, and so it was like, oh okay, well, we've got no space, what do we delay? Nope. We just plow on and try and find somewhere else to put this exhibition on. So I spent a week making more spreadsheets and contacting like every single gallery we could think of, like for-profit, non-profit, commercial spaces, like everything and anything, like pop-up shops, like weird warehouses in Tottenham, like literally anywhere. And then finally found the space just through kind of luck and like almost word of mouth. But that in itself was like a whole stressful process.
It was such a saga.
Such a process. But even through that, we were kind of totally determined that it was going to happen no matter what. Even if we had to kind of draw money from our own savings, we were going to put this on because we had so much sort of enthusiasm and like passion behind it, even from that stage. And then when our Arts Council funding didn't come through, we were like, well, we're too deep in it now. There's no going back.
Literally, we were like, if we've overcome being venueless, we can overcome having no money.
So that's when we launched our crowdfunder, which without it, we would have been in a pretty sticky situation. But, you know, thank God for crowdfunder, really.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting when with an event, it sounds like there were so many different moving parts. From the artists to the venue, and things go wrong, and it's so great to hear you say like the show must go on no matter what. And I know that you both lead with so much passion in this, and I know that in the art world, what I've spoken to, because I studied graphic design, so I feel like I'm kind of not, I don't know much about the art world. But
I feel like that. I'm an illustrator. It's fine.
But I speak to people who say they've like paid, students have paid so much money to be in exhibitions, and there's like this pressure to, yeah, spend a lot of money to be entered into exhibitions and things. And it's so wonderful that you, well, have now become curators and to see almost like a DIY passion to just be like, let's put on this show. We believe in the artists. We believe in all these people's work. And like you said, have a traditional space. It's just so interesting. I'd love to discuss like gatekeepers in the art world and what you've experienced and how you feel about it now coming like through this experience.
I feel like
there's loads of questions there, sorry.
No, that makes so much sense. I feel like by default, the art world, quote unquote, is designed to be inaccessible. It's not, you know, they gatekeep it because they want it to feel exclusive and elusive and make really expensive art, which I get, but like, I'm not really about that. And I feel like at the forefront of everything we were doing, we wanted it to be accessible, not only in terms of like, for anyone who wants to come and see it, but in terms of like people who might want to come and buy art or just view art and don't have to, like, we wanted it to be free for people, but also somehow raise money for charity. So we had those two competing things, but we made it work. And actually in the very early like planning stages of us doing this exhibition, somebody said to us, was like, well, it's not fine art. You can't put it in any fine art like publications or anything. And we were like, well, it's okay, we'll make it work for us, and it will still be like, it's, you know, who gets to decide what fine art is? I thought the art was fine, so
the
there
art
we go.
Was fine in my
the
opinion.
Art was fine. So it's fine art. You know, I feel like, yeah, it's there's just so many like arbitrary rules about what classifies as like fine art and what doesn't, and you know, it's nice to look at and it says something, and I was happy with it, so yeah. I think our main passion for the whole thing was just like we wanted to create an opportunity that we wish we had when we were breaking into like the industry. And I think we did that.
Yeah, it was really interesting actually, because I think, well, I'm not from a fine art background myself. Quite a lot of my friends are, like I have a lot of friends who are painters and stuff. And it's really funny to see kind of from people who are in the fine art world, I guess, what they think about what we do. And I've never thought there was much distinction, because I'm just like, it's art. And, you know, you have a platform and people engage in it, like, and, you know, people make money from it. Like, what's the difference kind of thing? But it turns out there is a big difference. And we kind of experienced that firsthand when we had people kind of, I would say, like, turn their noses up at it. But there's definitely, like, been a degree of snootiness around.
Yeah, I think they think that what we do is kind of, like, kitschy and cute and DIY. And it's like, yeah, but that doesn't mean it's not good. Like, it doesn't mean it's not as valid as other forms of art, you know?
And the whole kind of, like, Instagram influencer activism or like space, I think people kind of put that in another box, like that goes over there, that's its own category, whereas like, you know, blue chip fine art, real art is always like way over there, and the two just like don't really meet. But I don't really have time for that, like I don't really care about that. I just think, you know, there is a reason why the stuff that we like to engage it with and the stuff that we follow and we like on Instagram, there's a reason why that's not constantly in galleries. And I think that's one of the main reasons we wanted to put on the show in the first place, because we wanted the stuff that we are engaging in and the stuff that we like to look at, we wanted it to see it in a different setting. We wanted to see it in somewhere like a traditional, you know, white-walled setting. And we tried to kind of create that opportunity because we couldn't really see it happening anywhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got goosebumps from what you both just said. I just think Aww. It's so important. I just really do think it's so important. And yeah, you're right. There is such a distinction between like when I go into a traditional exhibition to what I see on my phone and what I choose in my own time to engage in. And I think that it's all to do with the people at the top and who are making these decisions. And so that's why I think what you guys have both done is really, really important. I don't want to get emotional. My parents dying. I'm getting emotional.
Oh my God,
I love art. But it's so important. And I know that people are going to be watching what you both have done on their phones and be inspired by it and be like, if I can't get into an exhibition, or if I see my friends being rejected or even asked to be paid like ridiculous amount of money to be part
people
of these things.
People should absolutely not pay to be an exhibition. If anybody is listening to this and has been asked to pay to be in an exhibition, please do not do it. They should be paying you, if anything. Like, no.
Yes. It's a scam. Oh. But I've told people. But yeah, I think it's important for the demand to be met if people want to, you know, this kind of work needs to be in IRL, in real life places, more so now than ever. And I think the only way that changes is if people at the top can, you know, be making those decisions. And I think it's so interesting. How do you feel about like how important it is? I guess you guys have just said that, but with social media, how important is it for both of you to see art in person?
Oh my God, it's like, well, it's something we all miss so much during, like, you know, the lockdowns and everything. And I feel like also it's just such a nice, like, I feel like looking back at Hysterical, it was such a nice like opportunity to bring so many creatives from all different disciplines like into a physical space and actually see the people who make the art and like see everyone in 3D. So weird after so long of just like, you know, looking at everything through your phone screen. And it was just so lovely to like see a community kind of like form. It was just, yeah, it was so wholesome. I mean, we're all still in touch. I don't know if Liza is, but I'm still in touch with all of the artists that were in it. And it was just so like, it's just so wholesome and like lovely to see such a nice group of people all come together about like a shared kind of passion for art. So yeah, I feel like super important and definitely something that I want to do more of.
Yeah, it's so refreshing actually to kind of bring things out of that like digital realm, digital space, and especially like social media. I think, I mean, I for one can feel really just desensitized, bored, like just kind of unengaged from some of the stuff that I see when I'm constantly looking at it through my phone. But as soon as we had started putting things on the wall and we actually had everything in front of us, it was just like, wow, like these things really exist. And I felt that way about my own work, you know, because I barely ever get my own work printed, barely ever kind of put my work in a wall or see it in a physical way. And so even just like that experience for myself, printing my stuff, framing it, putting on a wall, I was just like, oh my goodness, like this is how it's supposed to be seen, like how how crazy is this, it looks so nice, I should print it out more often, you know. It's just little things like that which make you think, oh, you know, I don't actually have to live my entire life through this tiny phone screen. It actually makes you feel, it kind of just makes you feel a bit more alive, like engaging with things in a real way. And we had that like opportunity every single day for 2 weeks, and then
it was honestly, it was so nice. Yeah,
yeah. And had like people actually being able to talk to people in the flesh about what we were doing, and talking to artists about their work, and then seeing other artists, meeting other artists, and it was just so inspiring to see and amazing. And everyone was also just, it was just really joyful, like the whole thing from start to finish. Like everyone was so happy to meet other people. And like that's probably got a lot to do with the fact that, you know, we haven't been able to meet other people for 2 years. But the sense of just like, you know, enthusiasm and joy and like optimism, it was just, it was amazing. And I'd kind of do anything to chase that feeling again, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. It was also so weird to go from seeing, because obviously we hosted an open call, we reached out to a couple of artists. All the work, which maybe again our naivety, we hadn't seen any of the work in person until it arrived and we were unpacking it to put on the walls. So it was just so weird to go from seeing like we knew what everything was and having like these images of stuff to actually seeing it as like a tactile object was just such a strange like feeling. But it was just amazing. It kind of made you realize that everything is like, it was all real. Yeah, because the whole thing had been organized like completely online, like we'd never met any of the people, so to have a room full of people and the stuff that they had like spent so long making was just, yeah, such an unreal feeling at the end of it.
Oh, I love that. And I mean, a lot of my close friends now I first met on social media, and so I love the idea of like people having these connections and relationships online, and then them like coming into reality, and especially with so many overlapping interests in activism and feminism and making artwork on inequality. I think it must have just been, I felt from watching everything from where I was online, super powerful, watching everything. And I think it's such a beautiful thing. How as we, I guess I just want to ask you both, what kind of wisdom do you have for aspiring curators who want to do, put on a show about art? And especially if they feel really overwhelmed by it, maybe they feel scared to let go of control and collaborate. Do you have any pieces of wisdom that you can share to young creatives?
I think I've got two really silly phrases, which I think are the only things I can really think about that kind of sum up exactly how I feel about this. And the first one is take the plunge. Because, you know, I'm such a huge advocate of doing things, just exactly like doing things that you have no experience in, but that you want to do, because it's, you know, it's scary and it's terrifying, but like good things, no matter what mistakes happen, like good things always come from it. And yeah, definitely just, if you're scared about doing it, that's almost a good sign that you should definitely, definitely do it. And the other one is follow your nose. This, I'm going to explain what I mean about this.
Please, because
I just think one of the things that when we were putting on this show, I think we both just, why we get engaged with it so much, and I think why we loved it so much, and everything was so different, but all of the things were things in there that me and B really, really loved and really, really liked. And we just wanted to kind of put on something that we would go to, that we liked the look of, and like, that might, you know, that maybe that's not the best thing in the world if you're maybe like working by yourself, but if you're working like with another person and you both have really kind of strong ideas about the things that you like, I mean, it's amazing that those things kind of married up, to be honest, and that we both had
thank
the same
god we had the same taste
and that we both had the same taste. Like
there was only one argument, and it wasn't about it wasn't even an argument, it was a minor disagreement. It was about one of the tacky like tinsel curtains that I'd
glitter
bought
curtain
in a fit of excitement, and Eliza was like, they cannot go.
We are not putting them in the gallery space. We can put them in the back by the kitchen. But yeah, no, follow your nose in the sense that, like, engage with and create and include just the things that you like. You know, like, don't kind of feel like you have to go outside your own experience and, well, to go outside your own experience in the sense of taking risks, but, you know, ultimately it should come down to the things that you want to see and that you like looking at. And I think if it comes from that place of passion, then that will be reflected in like the outcome of your work.
That does make perfect sense. I think absolutely, because like, if realistically, if we'd gone in with like an idea of, you know, an idea of what we wanted to create, and we wanted to create some kind of fine art things, and we chose things that we didn't like but we thought reflected what fine art was, you wouldn't have been able to see the passion in the show, and it would have probably just not been very good. I think because we had an idea of what we wanted and chose stuff that we loved and would want to see in a gallery if either of us were attending someone else's show and it was in it, like that, I think the kind of passion for every piece in that exhibition was tangible to anyone who came and saw it. Is that what you were trying to get at? I don't know.
I think absolutely,
like, yeah, I think you could kind of, people walking in could kind of feel how much effort and like how much love had gone into making everything kind of fit together. And in terms of advice, oh my gosh, I would say, I guess just, yeah, be open to collaborating with someone else and like having a fresh perspective, but don't compromise on like things that you like and who you, I mean, obviously compromise a bit, but like don't sell yourself.
Don't compromise on the glitter curtains.
Don't Never. Compromise. If there's Never. Glitter curtains, use them. And you know what? A lot of people complimented those glitter curtains. I think they did.
No, it's true. I hold my hands up. They were a success.
Anyway, be prepared to be wrong. No, I think, yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I've completely lost my train of thought. Woo! Yeah. No, I think, yeah, just open yourself up to the possibility of having a fresh perspective, but don't completely sell yourself out for the sake of collaborating with someone else. And I think also make sure that you have a really kind of strong shared vision of what you want. Mm-hmm. But also be prepared to like compromise on the vision a bit. But yeah, I think, I don't know. I don't know what advice. I think we were so lucky with how well everything kind of fit together for both of us that if we'd had a terrible experience, I would have so much more advice to give. But I think we were just really lucky.
Oh, well, that's beautiful. And I think what someone touched on earlier, and I made a mental note in my mind about how you were both, everything that you was in the show, you really believed in and you were really passionate about. And I think that is all artists, you know, you're both artists as well, we all want that, especially when you're vulnerable in your work, and to have someone curating a space that believes in you, or be just surrounded by people who believe in your work and understand your work and are passionate about your work. I think, and you both are leading by a wonderful example, that there's people out there that will believe you and back you, and even if it's not considered fine art, or even if it's Instagrammy social media artwork. So thank you so much for both of you for doing the work that you do in your kind of own individual artistry, as well as putting on this amazing series of events. So thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me and answer my questions. And yeah, I think we'll end it there on the little piece of wisdom that you both shared. That was great.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you. It's been so nice to speak to you.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to do this podcast, because I just wanted an excuse to actually put time in my diary to ask people who inspire me questions.
You inspire me. Stop it.
Well, I'm both big fan of both of your work, so thank you both. Thank you so much for listening. Please share on your socials if you enjoyed this episode. Please get in touch if you want me to interview specific guests. I'd love to know who you think I should speak to next. If you want more creative advice, you can head to my Patreon, patreon.com/NatalieByrne. That's BYRNE. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye.